Good morning. With having three preachers around, or more than that, they will steal your verses. I'm going to preach it again. You should have been here at Sunday school. Boy, we had a good time. Good preaching. Same song, second verse. Could get better, but might get worse. Turn to Luke 17:3. Luke chapter 17, verse 3. I'm going to read just verses 3 and 4. Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. Let's pray. Lord, you know our weaknesses and our sins. Lord, you know how we fail, not only you, but others around us continually. I pray that you would help us change our lives. Help us get victory. I pray that we'd understand your principles. And I ask, Lord, for anyone in this room that is not saved, has never turned their life over to you and just trusting you alone for their salvation, I pray they might be convicted and be saved. And I pray for everyone else, all of us that are saved, hard that we'd get the victory. We'd learn to walk in the way you want us to walk. Give me a freedom and ease to speak that only you can give. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to talk about forgiveness. And when we talk about forgiving somebody, we're talking about pardoning somebody. Or we're talking about give up resentment. Or the claim of some debt or something like that. Now, if you're in this room and you're saved, there's only one way God forgave you. You received the forgiveness from God. Otherwise, you wouldn't have anything. Now, God made the way for that forgiveness to come, and it's through His sacrifice, the Lord Jesus Christ. The one perfect man came, fulfilled the law, and died as our substitute in our place on the cross of Calvary. If you have hope in any other thing, you're going to end up in hell. Just heaven and hell are just two places. The only way you're going to miss hell and gain heaven is that Jesus Christ's blood pays your debt. And God said there's not but one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. That means there's nobody else. And the Bible is very clear on that. If you just take the Bible as your only authority, and you're going to have to come up with that, the way you get forgiven is Jesus paid your debt. And you go to God and you ask Him for forgiveness, and He gives it. What a wonderful thing. Well, this forgiveness is not just between God and men. It's between men and men. Do you have some things that happened in high school that can still burn you when you think about them? I do. Yeah. Do you have something that happened 20 years ago and you can think about it now and just sort of make you grit your teeth? I wish I'd have done this, or I wish I'd have done that. We hold resentments. And you know what they do? Those resentments will eat your lunch in the middle of the night. You're a whole lot better off to get forgiven and forgive and forget it, if possible, so you can sleep at night and you don't have to be trying to go through all the things you should have done. I cross all sorts of bridges, I don't know about you, that I never am going to cross. But I've crossed them 1,000 times in my mind before I ever got to them. Well, if they do this, or if this has happened, if that's there, I spend nights doing stuff like that. Not very smart, but I didn't claim to be too smart. He said, take heed to yourselves. It's Jesus talking about forgiveness. He's talking about between you and someone else, an individual. Take heed to yourselves. Now I want you to notice who the responsibility is on. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. If he trespasses against you and you say nothing, but harbor the resentment, it's your fault. He may have no clue he's offended you. He may not have any, man, he was just talking, having fun. I've done that. My stupid mouth gets me in more trouble. You say something and somebody takes it completely different than what you meant. You didn't mean it, and you certainly didn't mean it to grow to such big proportions. And sometimes it's not even heard right. Have you said one thing and somebody else thought you said something else? And of course they thought the worst thing that you could have said. He said, take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, you gotta, if it's something worth having an offense over, you're responsible to tell that person they offended you and ask them about it. Deal with it. If it's going to offend you, you're better off just to ignore most everything that comes down the pike. But if you got something that's going to burn you up and it's burning you, you say, did you mean that? Is that really what you said? Husbands and wives spend time with fights that never even should have been a fight. It was misunderstood or taken wrong or something like that. I don't know how many fights I've had that weren't worth fighting. You too. I'm not the only one. Rebuke him. If you repent, forgive him. Oh, this is too big to be forgiven. No. There's not anything out there that's too big to be forgiven because God says he can forgive anything. I tell you what, I could have gone into Adolf Hitler and told him, Jesus Christ can save your soul if you'll repent of your sins and take Christ. And it'd be a legitimate offer. I can walk in any prison out here and on death row, I can walk into that person on death row and tell them, Jesus Christ paid your debt to God Almighty. And if you'll repent of your sins and ask Christ to come and pay your debt, he'll save your soul. And it's a legitimate offer. Anybody can be saved. Hey, we can walk into these very religious people. There are a lot of nice people in the world. Some of them aren't saved, but they're very nice, nice people. And you know what? They think they're going to be saved because they're so nice. That's not true. Salvation comes in Christ and in Christ alone. If you don't have Christ paying the debt for your sins, you do not have salvation. Now he said, here's where it gets a little tougher. Verse 4. And if he trespass against thee 7 times in a day. Is that a little extreme? I think that's a little extreme. I was sort of raised with the first wooden nickel you give me is your fault and the second one's my fault. You understand the reasoning behind that? I trusted you the first time. I'm supposed to trust you. You give me a wooden nickel, you cheat me. Well, I ought to be on the watch and never get another wooden nickel from you. That's just one time. I remember back in the days when I was working, teaching school and visiting almost every night, and I dropped in for a supper at a fast food place, a chicken place, bought about a $5 meal, gave a $20 bill. She gave me change for a 10. She took that $20 bill and went over to her manager and came back with change for a 10. I didn't have any 10. I knew exactly what they did. You know something? I never went back for them to take me again. I didn't go back and eat their chicken anymore. All you have to do is cheat me once, and I'm going to be wary of you. Anybody else in here like that? Yeah. Don't go getting burned all the time. Don't let somebody run over you and just keep running over you. Stand up for yourself. But wait a minute, wait a minute. Look what it says here. And if he trespass against thee 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day turn again to thee saying, I repent. Now that's tough. Boy, that goes a long past the second mile. He comes up and he cusses you out and slaps your face. 5 minutes later, he comes back and says, I repent. You didn't mean it. Do you really mean it? Are you sure you mean it? Well, isn't what he said there. He said, if he asks you, if he repents, you're going to forgive him. Thou shalt forgive him if he comes and says, I repent. Whoa. It's big stuff. I don't know exactly how to live this way. This is not the way we live. This is not the way most of you live. Not the way I live. But God's making a point. You know, we'd have so much better marriages if we'd just be real forgiving. And not so easy to offend. We'd have much better relations in our families. Some of you got 2 or 3 brothers or sisters and you haven't spoken to them in years. And you're mad at them over something that happened and you never told them what they did. I believe this would solve an awful lot of problems, wouldn't it? What if it's the same offense again and again and again and they say, I repent? Well, I think that's a pretty hard statement. Look at Matthew 18:21. There's another hard statement about forgiveness. Matthew 18:21, Peter comes to him. Maybe Peter had heard about this 7 times in a day. I don't know. I'm sure he heard it both. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till 7 times? I would think Peter's stretching it right there. Man, I haven't gone up to the Lord and say, how many times should I forgive him? I forgive you once or twice and then forget it. But here's what he said. How oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till 7 times? That'd be pretty big. In my estimation, that's stretching our emotions. That's stretching our reasonability. I don't know many people that just live this way. Do you? I don't know. I don't. But here's what Jesus said unto him. I say not unto thee until 7 times, but until 70 times 7. How about 490? God's trying to make a point. God's trying to tell you, you need forgiveness and you need to be a forgiver. Why should you be a forgiver? Because the only hope you have is you've already been forgiven. Now he tells a story about a rich man who had a debtor and he decided to sell him and his family and get what he could out of his money. The guy owed him a lot of money. And the guy begged him and he said, okay, I forgive you. And that guy went out and took somebody that owed him a lunch and put him in jail for it and sold his family. And the message there is, since you were forgiven so much, shouldn't you be forgiving? Shouldn't you be forgiving? How in the world can you stand up and declare your righteousness and that somebody shouldn't say something to you and you get yourself all out of joint, when the only way you're standing is because you're forgiven? And if you've been forgiven, how can you be unforgiving? Man, this would help a whole lot of families. If we just had a little better attitude towards our wife or a little better attitude towards our husband, we realize, you know what? Your husband or your wife is not perfect. They're not even close. Put them on a scale somewhere. They'd all fail. We need to be forgiving, and we need to be forgiving with our brothers, our sisters, our husbands, our wives, our parents, our children. Somebody asked me one time when one of my kids did something that I didn't approve of, what I was going to do about it. I said, well, I don't have any throwaway kids. Every one I got them for the rest of my life. I don't care what they do, how they did it, how it come out, they're my kid. I'm going to suffer with them. I'm going to pray with them. I'm going to help them all that I can. That doesn't mean I won't stand up to them. I will. I don't have any throwaway kids. God doesn't have any throwaway kids either, I want you to know. I'm thankful. I really am. He says, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him till seven times? As far as I'm thinking, boy, Peter, that's being pretty forgiving. Bigger than what I'm thinking about. No, until 70 times 7. I don't know about you, but I haven't been slapped 490 times by my wife. I haven't had her mad at me that many times, I don't think. And hey, we've been married 57 years. We've had plenty of forgiveness. You know how you stay married 57 years? You forgive each other. Amen. You overlook some things. You know how she's been married to me? She's overlooked a whole lot of things. Maybe 490. Guaranteed. Very good. Now, what I'm thinking about is that God is trying to make a point. Look at Paul, what Paul has to say in Romans chapter 7. I know a lot of people that have a real hard time with the 7th chapter of Romans because they think of Paul as such a religious and righteous man, a Pharisee, a self-contained, responsible man. And many that I know have put chapter 7 back in Paul's lost life. I don't think so. I don't remember any time in my lost life that I ever felt these things. But I've felt them since I've been saved. Look what it says in verse 18. Romans 7, 18. For I know that in me that is in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. That's a pretty big statement. I know that in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find in a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. I want you to know, I believe this is a law that all of us have to face. I live with it. I've come to the place, maybe I'm too sensitive to sin for some of you, but when I read the Ten Commandments, I don't come away from that thinking, boy, I passed all of those. When I read, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy mind, all thy soul, all thy strength, I don't walk away from that verse and saying, praise the Lord, I'm glad I do this. Do you? When I read that, I think, what a miserable wretch I am. How selfish I am. How self-centered I am. How sinful I am. Love the Lord? I never one day in my life loved the Lord all day long. I don't even think of Him all day long. I don't even pray to Him all day long. Do you? You ought to be doing it. Yes, that could be a great occupation for you. And some people think they're so spiritual if they do it. I doubt anybody does. I find a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. This is the cry of a Christian man dealing with his own flesh. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Wow. I know that. I know that cry. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? In verse 25. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, with the flesh the law of sin. This is the cry of a man who wants to be righteous. This is the cry of a man who's embarrassed by his sinful faults. This is the cry of a man that has temptations and weaknesses and is attacked by the devil and attacked by things in this life, and he's humble before God Almighty. And he wishes he had that victory plane to walk on. I don't believe anybody walks on it. I think some of us walk better than others. Don't get me wrong. But you know what you have to do? Brother Brian was telling this morning, you got to fight. You have to resist. And you have to do it over and over and over again. Brian read this passage this morning, James chapter 4, verse 5. In fact, he preached my message before I got to it, but that's life. Around here, that's life. He said, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. He is my deliverer. He is my salvation. He cleanses my mind and my heart. He forgives my sins. Look at James 4, 5. Do you think that the Scripture saith in vain, the Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy, but he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Yes, be afflicted and mourn and weep over your sin. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. We're in a battle. And we have a weakness. It's our flesh. We have two things warring within our minds, within our hearts. We have the Spirit of God and the new man. It's been set free from sin and death. And we have the old flesh and the old man who still loves everything evil and is subject to all sorts of temptations. You feed the good dog or you feed the bad dog. There are an awful lot of addictions out there. I've dealt with some people with real addictions in my 54 years of preaching the gospel and counseling people. And oh, it breaks your heart because some of them really, they really fight and they just keep losing. I've seen someone addicted to drugs, embarrassed, ashamed, let their parents down, let their family down, let their children down, their wife down. Let the church down. And oh, they're humble. They're crying out. They're in pain. And they go to a rehab, and boy, they come back after a rehab, and they're rejoicing. I've broken it. Praise God, I haven't had this. I've been so many days. I walk away. I can walk away from it. And 3 months later, they're back on it. And over and over and over again. And some of them finally just give up and shoot themselves. Because they're tired of being an embarrassment to their family and to themselves. There are a lot of addictions out there. There are a lot of things that get a hold of people and they have a hard time getting rid of them. Drugs, alcohol, cigarettes, pornography, bad company, bad companions, bad practices, bad habits. And they can get a hold of you until they ruin this life and your testimony for Jesus Christ. You know, it says God resists the proud. If you think you can withstand all things and you have such a great willpower, you're proud. You're foolish. You know what you better do? You better run and get down on your knees and grab God by His knees and stay there. Saying, "Oh God, forgive me. Oh God, deliver me. Oh God, help me." And then you're still going to have to resist the devil. No other way about it. He said, "Humble yourselves," verse 10, "humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up." Yes, you're going to have to say no. Yes, you're going to have to resist. Yes, you're going to have to want to win. And then, my friend, you're going to have to stay on your knees before God Almighty and walk close with Him, or you're not going to win. And the old man will rule instead of the new man. And your testimony will be shot. And you'll be hurt and in pain, all over in pain. What can we do? God resisteth the proud. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord. Psalm 51:17, there's a verse David was quoting. Or wrote, excuse me. I'm quoting Psalm 51:17. "The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, Thou wilt not despise." When you walk up before the Lord, sometimes you are in such an offensive attitude. When you walk up to pray to get your new Cadillac or to win the sports thing or for the Spurs to win the championship, people pray about those things. I don't. I'm tempted to, but I don't. I rebuke myself when I'm tempted about praying for whichever team to win a football game. Because you pray about everything else, well, it's ridiculous. You know, that's really bad. You're not thinking straight. When you come into the presence of God with so much sin upon you, you say, "I don't have all that sin on me. I haven't drank. I haven't done this. I haven't done that," down the line. Your attitude stinks. Your pride stinks. You know what an abomination is? That's a bad smell. When it says that an abomination at the Lord is something that smells bad to Him. You know how when you get in certain places, death, what it smells like? Man, that's hard to take. Some of these people get used to it, these coroners and others that deal with stuff like that. Man, that's a strong, strong, strong smell. I don't know how they handle it. Well, that's what you smell like to your Father God when you walk up to Him in your pride, thinking you're all right. I'm better than everybody on my block. I'm better than most of the people in the church. I'm better than most of the people in my family. Lord, look what I do. I give tithes of all that I possess. You ever heard that story? Oh, we walk into God's presence filled with such self, so proud of anything we've done. You know, you can be sinning against the Lord while you're preaching the gospel up here because you're thinking, "I'm doing a good job. That's one of my best ones." Yeah. And the Lord said, "No, son, wasn't even close." We walk into His presence and the Bible says God hates pride. God hates pride. And we are all so proud. Now, some of you real sensitive ones will say, "Oh, no, I'm humble." No, you're not. The more sensitive you are, the more pride you have. You could not be offended like you get offended if you weren't so proud. If you're actually humble and somebody puts you down, you'd say, "Yeah, that's where I was supposed to be." You don't feel that way. No, who is he telling me this? Who are they to say that about me? You know how we do? You know what? You're dealing with sin and you're dealing in the mind. as I would be just so embarrassed if I had to go to my wife 7 times in a day and ask her to forgive me for the same thing. Wouldn't you? I would literally, wow, what a blow to my self-control. What a blow to my pride. I feel that way about going to God, the same thing. I feel that same way about going to God. Look at 1 John chapter 1, verse 8. First John 1:8, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. I've actually met people that said they hadn't sinned. My sister was witnessing. My sister was a believer. I led her to the Lord after I got saved, and she was a very sweet believer till the day she died. And she was witnessing to a man, and he told her, "Lady, I haven't sinned in 20 years. She said, "Oh, yes, you just did. You lied." Yeah. Oh, my friend, listen. We say we have no sin. We deceive ourselves. Truth not in us. Now, we've been forgiven of our sins. We've been transported into a different spiritual life. And as far as our salvation is concerned, our sins are not to be remembered against us. But we walk in them as long as we're in this body. We have temptation, not only young men, old men. Not only young women, old women. All of us. And if you had a sensitivity to it, you'd walk every day asking God, "Oh, forgive me, Lord, I'm sorry." If you got a besetting sin, one that just keeps tripping you up, whatever it is, you just have to keep going back. "Oh, Lord, I'm sorry, Lord. I'm ashamed, Lord. I'm humble, Lord. Forgive me, Lord, for my stupidity, for my selfishness, for my lust, for my pride," whatever it is. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But I want you to notice a verse, and I think it goes to the two passages that I read at the very start. Verse 9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His word is not in us. Look at that verse 9. It's one of my favorite verses. I have used that. I use it every time I talk to a lost person. I use it almost every time I talk to a saved person. It's one of the greatest promises you're ever going to find. If we confess our sins, He is what? Faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Yes, when you get saved and Jesus pays your debt, you're going to walk into heaven on the righteousness of Jesus Christ. But you're going to walk down this life 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70 years. And you're going to have to deal with God and human beings and yourself every day. And that's where this verse is the most powerful. How do you come into God's presence not under the burden of sin? If we confess our sins. I've been asked sometimes, how do you deal with a real problem that you're really tempted on? It's conquered you. I would say you go every time you think about it. You go to God and say, "Here I am, Lord. Here I am again. I'm ashamed that I'm here again. But You said, if I would confess my sins, You would forgive me of my sins and cleanse me from all unrighteousness." If you got to go 50 times a day, go 50 times a day. If you can't get off your knees, then don't get off your knees. If we confess our sins, what a promise. Now think about this. Peter said, Lord, if I forgive him 7 times, is that all right? He said, no. 70 times 7. 490 times. That's such a stretch for us. God's making a point. How many times has God forgiven your sins? The same sins. Oh, not a new sin today that might be more interesting to God. Oh, Lord, I did this. No, it's the same old stupid stuff. The lust of the eyes, the pride of life, addiction to one thing or another, selfishness, unforgiveness. How can we be unforgiving? No matter what anybody does to us. No matter what they do to you. How can you be unforgiving since you had to be forgiven for so much? What God say to you? What big, big, big answer does He have for you? If we confess our sins. If we confess our sins. Not going to God and not confessing them. Not going to God like you don't have any. I'll bet you most of our prayers go out of our mouth with God like we don't have any sin to confess. And that's a dirty shame because every day you're dirty. Every day you're full of self. Every day you're full of pride. Every day you're full of lust. Every day the pride of life is defeating you. You can't even get along with somebody you love. You can't even get along with your kids. You can't get along with your brother, your sister. You can't get along with people in the church. And you don't have anything to confess? Maybe you got a whole lot that God would like to see you confess, and it might open up the doors of fellowship between you and God. You're not that good. God's just not that proud of you. As to your walk. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just. God is faithful and just. You're not faithful and you're not just. God is faithful and just to do what? Every time you confess it, He forgives it. He's not like you. He's not holding grudges. If we confess our sins, what do you do? Just, here I am again, Lord. I'm ashamed. I'm sorry. Forgive me. Cleanse me. Do something for me. Help me. Deliver me. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's a great big verse. One of the biggest verses in the Bible, that little verse, 1 John 1:9. You ought to have it marked in your Bible. You ought to have the page dog-eared. You ought to go to it every morning and every night. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He didn't put any limit. Not 7 times in a day. Not even 490 times in a day. All day long, you can take that verse and take it to God and it'll work. It will work. That's a promise of the Word. If we confess our sins, that's the problem. Do you confess your sins? Will you confess your sins? Will you count sin what God counts sin? Or will you walk on in your pride and your mediocrity as a Christian? Because you're too proud to admit your sin and confess your sin and trust God's Word that He'll forgive you and cleanse you. I don't know any other way to conquer a besetting sin, except going to God over and over and over again Every time it comes in your mind, every time it slips into your heart, every time you see it, notice it, Lord, forgive me. Keep short accounts with God. If you're here and you're not saved, God will save your soul. He will change your life. If you're here and saved, I have no doubt you need to confess some sins to God. We're going to sing 235. Let's stand. We'll sing it through and